This is a special song for a special lady that needs to hear this right now.
When I think I'm going under, part the waters long. When I feel the waves around me come to sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me. Knowing you love me, through the burdens I must bear, hearing your footsteps lets me know. When I feel the waves around me come to sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me. Knowing you love me.
Do you feel like that sometimes? That you kind of just like need God to touch your life. You know, God is working hard trying to keep this world floating right, but you want God to still the waters in your life. Yeah. Heal it once more. Listen.
When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord.
Part the waters, Lord.
When I feel the waves around me,
calm the sea.
When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me.
When it gets like that, that's where you have to call on God. And if you're really His, and He's really yours, He'll hear you, and He'll do something for you. That's for you, Karen, very special lady, didn't request that, but she needs it. She needs it right now. And I don't do this often, but I'm going to do it right now. Gary, man, I love you so much, Gary. You ought to come and visit me in Los Angeles just to hang out for about a night, a day, a week, or something. Gary was a young man when I was pastoring the vet years ago. My gosh. So tuned in to the Word of God. I knew of Gary because Gary would listen to the message that I would bring, and he needed a ride home from church. He was a teenager, and he lived in an apartment complex about a half a mile from my home, and Lucy and I would drop him off home. Special time. I knew that the boy had a great love in his heart for God. Gary, I got these words for you. Trust God. Be very, very leery of the arts these days. Because sometimes the artistry, the I guess you can say, there is something behind everything, and you should investigate. There's a lot of great videos out there on the internet about certain kinds of music, certain genres of music, and what's behind it. Um, And I just want your heart to go there. I'm not going to chide you. I'm not going to try to teach you anything. You're a grown man now. You really bless my heart. If you listen to one of my webcasts a year, you bless my heart. You're one of my favorite students if you do that. That's for sure. But let's get to the subject matter. Is it a holiday or a holy day coming up? I mean, when this particular holiday came up, it was always a very special time in the Coleman house. Of course, it wasn't a question about what we were listening to. That record that you just heard me play when I started off the webcast was from, it's an old album. The album was recorded in 1976, and it was recorded on Word record label. Just a beautiful picture of a young lady sitting at a window, dressed in a nice dress, looking at some embroidery, and the name of the record was Part the Waters. Oh, I'm sorry, the name of the singer was Evie Turnquest Carlson. Part the Waters. When I think I'm going under, Lord, part the waters. In other words, do a Red Sea miracle for me. How many of us need that this holiday season? Everything's falling apart. I don't ask anybody to do anything extraordinary in the lives of other people, but I'm asking you to, I mean, especially this young lady has recently gone through the awareness of the deaths of two people in her family. That happened here in my family a couple of weeks ago. My great aunt died, and a week after she died, her older son died. And, you know, a lot of people are leaving us. A young man died on a motorcycle a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke with this friend, and his friend is still torn up over it. It's been 2 weeks. And young people just trying to drink their sorrow away. You can't do it that way. That's not the way to take care of death. Death comes to all of us. And when death comes to all of us, we have to go to the truce breaker. And the truce breaker is go to God. God is the only one that knows why the person left, had to leave. And it's difficult for those of us that are left behind, because of all of the things that we humans have difficulty coping with, it is death. We have tremendous difficulty coping with that. But it comes, and it's going to come to each of us. It's very difficult to talk about, especially to young people, because they haven't lived. But, you know, sometimes life caves in on us. And when life caves in on us the way it usually does, we take a negative view of it. We kind of say, well, if this is all I have left, then I'm just going to throw everything to the wind. I have said this. I was very curious. A man that I used to pastor in my church this weekend came by. He called me and asked me where I was, and I told him, and he met me there, and he was sitting in my car having this lunch with me, and he told me that I had changed. Upon arriving at my home, I asked him what he meant. I was serious when I asked him. I said, what do you mean I've changed? I haven't changed. I said, if you say that I'm more blunt at what I believe, yes, I've changed that way. I don't play with anyone. I ask them what their objectives are when they talk to me. I don't want any hidden agendas, maybe off the subject, a holy or a holiday. You discover that for yourself. It's every day is a good day for me because it's a day that God has made and He's allowed me to be alive in it. I was sensing that I have about four or five things to do around the house here. that are very important that I have to get done, and they're not going to get done unless I do it. I should stop complaining. But I asked him point blank, tell me how I've changed. I said, how do you think I've changed? Really, tell me how. I said, I still love God. I'm still faithful to his word. No. And then I told him, listen. I said, I know why you told me you think I've changed. Because I have no regard for anything associated with church people that are intelligent and bright. And, you know, I began to, and then there was a second person from the church that dropped by and had a conversation with me, and I had to chide him too. Because I said, I taught you for years how to respond as a Christian to every situation, and you didn't. As a matter of fact, we had a conversation where the man told me something that he believed, and I said, I am just totally ashamed of you. Totally. And I guess I've changed in this way because I don't talk to people like, well, I can't tell them that because if I tell them that, I'm going to lose their friendship. And I don't want to lose their friendship, and I don't want to let them think that I don't love them immensely, so I'm not going to tell them the truth as I see it. I've changed in this way. I tell the truth as I see it. If I think something is a scam, I'm going to tell you that I think it's a scam. If I think that you're pursuing a particular avenue or something like that, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. I'm going to point out to you what I think it is. And I'm hoping that you can accept it. But I haven't changed. It's just that when I was a pastor of a church, what was I doing? I was going there every week giving you the word of God. I wasn't telling you my opinion about you. I wouldn't dare do that. God didn't tell me to do that. God told me when I was pastoring the church, tell them what I've said. I was talking with a young man today. You guys, oh my gosh, you guys should have heard it. I asked this young man a question. And he said, why do you keep asking me that question? Because we were having a discussion. Someone asked, and someone said, yeah, he's always telling people they're going to hell. I said, no, I don't. I don't always tell people that they're going to hell. I said, in this life, if you do something like off another person, you kill another person, you kill them, okay? And you don't own up to that. With the remorse that any human being should have for killing another human being. And if you never get that right with God and you die with that in your conscience, there's a good chance that your soul, that I believe lives on forever. I don't know where hell is, what it's like, but your soul that lives on forever, that will never die, will in some kind of way be tormented. You're not going to go to hell because of who you are. God doesn't send people to hell because they're retarded. God doesn't send people to hell because they're black or they're poor or they're a one percenter. God doesn't send people to hell because they're rich or white. No. You know, if you want to believe in the concept of a hell, whether it's burning or enclosed or jail or dark or evil or whatever it is, you get there when you reject the God. See, that created you and what God has said. That's what I said to that young man. And I said, and I'm going to ask you one more time. And the young man denied it. I said, I'm finished with the subject matter. But know this, if you lied about this, if you lied about what you just said, you blasphemed God and you probably on your way to hell. And one of his friends squirmed in their seat. I saw it. I didn't say a word. I said, I'll never say another word on the subject. Because we were having a discussion about, you know, people that recently died and who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. I don't know who's going. All I know All right, let me give it to you like this. You want to know? You want to know when God's wrath is coming down on you? I don't have to quote a Bible verse because I'd have to give it the background, who wrote it, why he wrote it to those people, and all this. Let's just bring it down to the nitty gritty. God says, "I'm a jealous God, and you shall have no other God before you." God tells us humans that we are not to have any other God before him, and that he's jealous for us being connected and united and associated with him. There are times when we as human beings can give ourselves over to other entities. Sometimes we give ourselves over through music. Sometimes we give ourselves over through thought patterns that we have, through sex. Yeah. You know, some people are really into sex, man. I remember when that comedian actor died, had his girlfriend mix him a highball, I think it was back in the 80s. One of the Bellucci brothers. You know, you can love getting high too much. Yes, you can. And with these new drugs that they have out here, this crystal meth and this other stuff, you know, you can love that. And that can become a god to you. You know, a lot of people think it's called addiction. It's not addiction. It is addition. We have to be very, very careful with this question about heaven and hell and all that, because based upon where the church or who the church says is going to heaven and hell, they got that thing all twisted. Because God is not going to send anybody to heaven and hell because of who they are. He's going to send them to a place of retribution and wrath. I believe that God is a God of love. And God is also a God of wrath. Now, I mean, you can't have one without the other. They had a record out years ago when I was a young kid growing up called Love and Marriage. Love and marriage, love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage. Something, my brother, you can't have one without the other. Can you believe that? They had a song talking about love and marriage, because they knew that marriage was the final act of love. But I'm telling you today, in these day and age, there ain't no marriage. Ain't nobody marrying nobody. You can just have somebody and leave somebody. I had a young man come by and he was talking with me and he says, "Women." And I said, "What? What?" And he told me what the situation was. And I said, "She's teasing you, man. Women are teases." And I said, it's really a shame that your dad never sat down and took time to hip you to that. Well, it's really a shame that you never took time to focus. I didn't tell him this, but that's what I was thinking. That he never took time to focus upon what is he doing with a woman. What are you going to marry this woman? Are you just, you know, you just want to use her as a brothel partner? You know, is that what it is? Is this love? Now, I understand, because love doesn't have to be a co-sign with the marriage contract. Now, you don't have to do that. You find somebody you love, you can move out in the woods and live with that person. Live as husband and wife. Don't sign your name to any document and nothing. You would be free of taxation and everything. I wish it was that easy. I don't know how you, what would you do? Come out of the mountains, come into the county store and get some food and drink? Because if you're not connected to signing your name on that dotted line saying that I'm going to make a life with this person right here, well, there's going to be frustration. Turmoil. And there's going to be not love and marriage going together like a horse and carriage, but you're going to find the person's heart and disposition and anxiety going in a different direction. That's one thing I can say. I am not going to remarry. That's the one thing that I can say. I will never remarry. Who wants to be married? Who wants somebody always clawing on them for attention? That's what I see marriage as now. I can barely live with me, let alone with anybody else. Right. I just need friendship now and then, very close friendship. And God has blessed me with that. And so I'm very happy about that. But I don't need love and marriage. If, you know what the Bible says about that. If a man and a woman can't contain themselves, they should marry. Because if not, they're going to be over-anxious for each other. And that over-anxious leads to a lot of promises that they share with each other. But unfortunately, both in the couple don't end up keeping them. They keep breaking them. Do we need a contract to love? I don't think we do. I don't think it takes much to be decent. But I got to tell you here recently, and I was sharing with the students, because we're getting ready to come into the midterm and pivotal on the coming to the middle of the semester. I mean, it moved so quickly. So quickly. I couldn't believe it. But I was sharing with the students at this election this year, with the tensions. It's not just the white and black tensions. And this is tension amongst white people, tearing protest signs out of each other's hands, arguing, fussing in the street. I've never seen such animalistic behavior out of people in our society. I don't know what happened on the news tonight. I don't watch the news. I come in the studio here. There's nothing on but this stuff in this studio working and me talking to you after 9 o'clock at night. I don't watch it. Can't. But love is wax cold. Jesus said, when he comes back to earth, will he find faith? And then he says, you know that the end of days is coming when you see love waxing cold. That term means that nobody's thinking about really loving anybody. They aren't. I don't use the term too much. You heard me say it to Gary because he's on my mind. He's on my mind. And he's no longer a young man. He's a very grown man. On his own. But I love Gary the way I remember him when I saw him last. I don't know him as a man. If I met him, would I love him? Does he have the same heartfelt determination to follow God? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to say I doubt it, or yes, he does, or even more so. I don't know. He knows. He knows. And I am under the, like I was talking with this other man last night, I said, you are wrong. When you did something, I won't go into what he did. I said, you were wrong. And I said, and I can tell you, because I'm no longer your pastor, it's not based upon you getting angry, whether you're going to pay me so I'll have a decent income next month, or you're going to tell other people about me and get to gossip. And I said, I don't care what you do with this information. You were wrong. And I said, you remind me of a lot of people that have accomplished something. This man is very well accomplished in business and everything else. And I just said, but you're wrong. Now, until that individual admits to God and to himself that he's wrong, nothing is going to go right in that man's life if he keeps hanging on to the name of Jesus. It's as simple as that. And that goes for me too. All right? That goes for me first. Me first and foremost. I am going to be judged more severely, much more than anybody else. So I'm not talking about anybody. Just like when the young man spoke to me and he said, oh, nobody's going. I said, oh, yeah, there's going to be somebody's going to suffer the wrath of God. And I think that that's why a lot of people don't like this idea about God, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, whatever his name is and you want to address him by. The master creator of the whole universe, the designer of the universe. None of this is not by chance. It didn't happen by an accident. Don't let them fool you with that cock and bull story. This was no accident. All this is purposeful. Every birth on the planet, everyone that's born, to every parent, even if that parent abuses that child, beats that child, God's going to use the beating of that child as a retributive force against that parent's life. Oh yeah, no one gets away with this. I had a thought. I'm going to tell you guys the truth. I had a thought this evening when I was home, and I should not have had that thought. I was in the studio, and I bowed my head, and I said, God, please forgive me for that thought. That thought was the filthiest, dirtiest thought that I've had this entire year. See, I'm honest enough to tell you about humans. The devil will put some mess in your mind, man. He will put some mess in your mind. I remember a time, I would not tell you what the incident was. I remember a time that I was, oh my God, what was it? How can I put this to keep this thing decent? I was about 20 to 30 seconds away from engaging in something that I knew that I should never engage in. And I thought at the last moment before I got engaged in it of the consequence. The consequent, and I couldn't deal with the consequent. I was teaching my students in Philosophy 1 about warrantability. You know, was it a warranted action? No, it was not. And that unwarranted action would bring pain on me. Well, that's the way life is. But we're living in a day and age where either we do it through our music or through narcotics or through a joint or through something or through alcohol, sex, power, money over other people, betrayal, fighting in the streets like dogs. Our entire culture here is going under. I mean, bottoms up. God, I mean, you know, you can go to YouTube clips and see people fighting each other in the streets like animals. I mean, my goodness. When will it end? Well, I won't get up. That was my phone. I'm not going to stop this webcast trying to see who's attempting to contact me. If it's serious, they'll call me. So, the stress of living in America is all around us. The stress of being single is all around us. The stress of dealing with people that don't know how to deal with life. Let's get back to my friend's statement. He said that he and his woman were discussing how I had changed. And I asked him, what are you and your woman doing discussing my life for? Why don't you come over here to my house and ask me why have I changed? And why aren't you specific in telling me what I've changed in? See, this is the way I talk now. And if he really answered that question, he would have said, I would have liked it better if you had and not start dealing with people outside of the church the way you are and just continue to deal with us because we need eternal help. No, you don't. That's why I told him why I left the church. You don't need no pastor there preaching that same thing to you. All right, what is it, a holiday or a holy day? What's the story that the preacher's going to tell you that you already know on Sunday morning? Wait a minute. I can only imagine some of you nitwits are going to go around to some of these Good Friday services. Are you from the black community? You all want to know what that is? Oh my gosh. Okay, Good Friday. If you're a young preacher in the black community and you don't get very much time to get behind a pulpit to preach, you know, you think the Spirit of the Lord is on you. So what the pastor does is he set up something on Friday afternoon. You know, you can get a little time off your job, put some ashes on your Ash Friday or what, Ash Wednesday, right? Ash Wednesday, keep it on here to Friday. And then Friday you can get some time off to go to church for the Good Friday services. And when you do that and you go to Baptist church, you got this young preacher up here. What is he, 19, 20 years old? Ain't never preached a day in his life. Don't even know what he's talking about. Nervous as all get out because his family, his uncle, auntie, his mother, grandmother, all of them at the church. Oh, my baby gonna preach. My baby gonna preach. And a lot of people think that this, my baby gonna preach, gonna be a guarantee that they people gonna all get to heaven. See, and they love it when they got a preacher in the family, because that kind of like secretly, unconsciously erases all of the bad things that Uncle Jed and Aunt Ruth did. You know, that's American way. See, this kind of superstitious, metaphysical thing. Well, I never played that. I was serious with it. But every time this time of the year came, I began to get frustrated, because I asked myself, why am I telling the same message to these people over and over and over again? Why? And I'm telling you, I was a pretty good exegete. I could take one aspect of it. I could take one character out of the scene in the Bible text and do a 90-minute sermon around that and give an ethical lesson to it. That is what I was trained to do, and that is what I did. So Good Friday is out for me. I guess I've changed. You know, I've never changed. I never cared for Good Friday. I never put on a Good Friday service at the church that I pastored. I went to a few. I was quite embarrassed. I wanted to tell the young man, what are you doing up here? You need to go to carpentry school or something else. But what is it, a holiday or a holy day? Why is it that nothing ever changes after this? Oh, well, stop letting me be so gruesome, so cruel. I need to let people have their fun, don't I? I don't have any plans. I'll probably go by my daughter's and get a bite to eat. She's a very good cook. Cooks like a mother. My late wife. May go by there, see the grandchildren, talk to them a little bit. As a matter of fact, my granddaughter sent a beautiful, beautiful tune to me that she wrote, and I love it so much. I didn't ask her permission. She's 16, but she's writing music now, and I think that, yeah, I think this is appropriate. I think I'm going to play this number. I understand she wrote it. I'm going to call first to try to get her permission, but she wrote it. And she's playing the instrument, and she did the two-part harmony. I know her voice. She's very talented, like her Lolo. That's me. Very talented. And give me a second. I want to give her a call right now and see if I can play it on my webcast tonight. I'll be back in a second. Well, I'm going to play it. It's called Wish I'd Known. This is my granddaughter, and this is her song. She just finished it, and she sent it to her grandfather, and I want you to hear it. And this is good music from a 16-year-old teenage girl. That's her playing, too.
I know you're not coming back. I fell right into your trap. Locked eyes, but our lips are sealed. And I'm gonna miss that look that you had on your face. I'd known what you wanted, wouldn't you? Open your mouth. I figured out what you needed, and there was no way out. Was there then to say that you gotta go, gotta go? You gotta go, gotta go. Feelings change, this I know, and I know why you had to go. I may have let that hurt me, but I won't let it show. 'Cause deep down inside it's the truth, my happiness isn't you. It's the happiness I see in you that made my love true. I'd have known what you wanted if you had opened your mouth. But when I figured out what you needed, there was no way out. Was there that you gotta go? You gotta go, gotta go. We're so close yet we're so far. It's time's fault, it was never ours. The chances I'll give are like nights and her stars, 'cause that's where I left my dreams. Did I have too much to say? Was there something that could make you stay? 'Cause it looks as though we both had ourselves fooled. Wish I'd known what you wanted, wouldn't you? Open your mouth. I figured out what you needed, and there was no way out. I'd have known what you wanted if you had opened your mouth. I figured out what you needed, and there was no way out. Say that you gotta go, gotta go. That you gotta go.
Boy. My granddaughter, right? 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 Hey, Carrie, you used to sit in the back seat with him when, you know, we were leaving the church. Remember my youngest daughter? Well, that's her daughter. That's her daughter, Gary, at 16. I mean, people, listen. Listen. What you do with your children. See, that's decent music. That's decent music. Wish I'd known. That's her playing the ukulele. She also plays the piano. And what other instruments? She also plays a flute. Very talented musically. Both of my grandchildren, highly talented. Not polluted by any dope or anything like that, or any craziness. Raised decently by parents that love them. You know, I'm proud. Now, I hope nobody takes her song and writes a big hit out of it and makes $1 million. I don't know whether I should really put it up on the, I may re-listen to this webcast and cut this song off and just make a copy for myself because I like it so much. Because I couldn't reach her, it's too late. She's in bed. She's, you know, it's after 10 o'clock. She's probably getting ready to, you know, settle down and get up and go to high school tomorrow. But When you spend adequate time with your child can do something like that. And you don't, and what do you hear in the lyrics of the music? Do you hear any? My God, people, come on, get a grip. You know, this guy was saying, oh, John, you've changed. I haven't changed at all. I am in touch with the spirit of the age that I live in. And if you're going to keep up today, you'd better be able to get out of those lanes of traffic that's going to keep you congested and trying to figure out what are you even doing in the vehicle in the first place. Ah, Alex always makes me happy. I'm looking forward to seeing her this weekend. And I love the song. I'm going to let everybody hear it that I possibly can. I hope she doesn't mind. I don't think she'd mind. I mean, this isn't like, but it's a nicely written song. It's a nicely written song. And, you know, there's something called patenting. And so since she sent it to me on this date and I have it on my phone, no one else can take this and take it because, boom, it is here. So I've copywritten it. Because that's the way people are. People will steal your stuff and try to make $1 million off of it and think that it was originally their idea. And this idea just popped out of her head, and she did that. And guess what? Someone gave her a ukulele for Christmas. Someone gave her the instrument, and here it is. Just like my play son Mario. I remember when he bought that guitar. Now he's playing it all around Europe, everywhere he is, with the professionals up there. Watch that baby boy grow up. Watch him. Now, if I did anything to hurt my grandchild or my play son or anyone, if I ever cussed them out, if I ever ignored them, if I ever treated them like garbage, that's where retribution comes in from God. You hear me? We need to get that straight. Well, thank you, Alex, for that wonderful song. I'm just blown away at her giftedness, at her talent. And I'm going to keep this message on my phone, and I'm going to make a nice recording of it, and I'm going to put this in with my record stuff, and I'm going to play it from time to time. I think it is a beautiful, beautiful number. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming by my website today and this week. And I'm going to, I guess I'm going to let Alex lead me out. I'm going to let her take me out with her ukulele. Thank you for coming to the webcast. And whatever you do, you stay in the Word of God. It'll help you. Come on, girl. Hey.
I know you're not coming back. I fell right into your trap. Locked eyes, but our lips are sealed. And I'm gonna miss that look that you had on your face.